Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at avalonwaterways.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're on the air from 1 till 4 after 4 o'clock. The iHeart app has the John and Ken on demand podcast. Same show. You can listen to whatever you missed. And no matter where you go, you hear Blake Trolley too.
Well, we will have another keyword to be revealed in about 15 minutes. You can still win some cash. That's still going on here on KFI through our show into Tim Conway Jr.'s show. And yes, yesterday at this time, Blake Trolley came on to talk about what some had reported as a home invasion robbery attempt in the Hollywood Hills. We still haven't sorted that out completely, but the homeowner did shoot the person trying to get into her home, certainly was concerned. Now we have a stabbing committed that took the life of a Jack in the Box employee. Let's bring on Blake Trolley for more of this story.
Hey, what's up, Ken? Yeah, you know what? Actually, the Jack in the Box employee survived the stabbing. Those first media reports that came out that said he was killed were actually false. He did end up surviving this stabbing. When I called LAPD this morning, they were really confused. I had read the initial reports that came out that you guys saw, that everybody saw. And the PIO was like, you know, we don't have any information on this, but I'm looking at the incident report right now and there's no crime scene set up. If somebody was killed, there'd probably be a crime scene. So behind the scenes here at KFI, we were actually trying to figure out what to do with this story. Mm-hmm. Then we called and we realized somebody had been stabbed. It's just that they had survived. So that really lessens the burden of the crime scene.
Do we know the condition?
I'm told that he was released from the hospital. The knife he was stabbed with, I'm told by witnesses on scene, was a small pocket knife. And so the unofficial account, but this is the account that I was given by an employee that works at the store, is that the employee and another employee were outside having a smoke break. They had that back door you see a lot at fast food restaurants. A lot of us reluctantly look through it and realize what we're getting into. Yeah. When you look into the kitchen, it was
never,
that door.
Never look into the kitchen.
Yeah, you got to just look straight when that door is open.
This is at 2 in the morning.
It was 2:30 this morning. Yeah, so that door's prodded open while the two are having a smoke, and the homeless guy apparently tries to go into the door, and the employees try to stop him. Some sort of altercation or fight breaks out. The homeless guy stabs him. That's what the employee told me. Another witness told me that the employee was stabbed about 6 times in the back, but it was a small enough blade that they got stitched up this morning at the hospital and have since been released.
That's good.
This is definitely a homeless person.
a thought to be homeless person, but Ken, just by surveying the area as I was driving up DeSoto to get to this Jack in the Box, there's homeless camps all over the area. There were homeless people, a lot of homeless people in the parking lot today. I was asked, you know, one of them approached me a couple times. There was one woman, she looked a little deranged. She approached me a couple times. There were camps along DeSoto, maybe a quarter, half mile away.
Karen Bass's Los Angeles. It just never ends, does it? Every single freaking day. And nobody does anything about it.
Well, I talked to this guy, and he said that at night, he doesn't even go out anymore at night because he said the area just gets so sketchy.
It turns into a whole nother world here at night. It just seems like the devil comes out in full blast.
So that was his account. I spoke to another woman who said the same thing. She said at night, this area is starting to get really sketchy.
Would they come out of their tents?
Yeah, presumably.
Like drug zombies?
What I was told was there's a lot of homeless people roaming around the area at night. Some of them aren't sketchy. Some of them are. Some of them are looking for trouble. I spoke to this woman who says her fiance left. He was using her car. He left it running in front of a liquor store last month, and a homeless guy jumped in and stole it. She just got the car back. The back seat's missing. Some other parts are missing. I asked her why. I thought maybe the police removed them.
The back seat is missing.
And she said that's because he sold the back seat. And maybe some other parts within the car, and it sounds like she sold some other stuff.
And he pretty much took everything out of my car that was in here, my ID, my phone, my work stuff, and he just sold it. He was just selling it. And when the police gave me my car back, there was about like $10,000 to $15,000 worth of stolen merchandise from all over the neighborhood. Unfortunately, they could not say where the merchandise came from, so they told me pretty much just to keep everything, and I just donated it and, you know, just gave it to wherever. No,
you know, in his defense, at least he left her with something. He might have sold the seats, but, you know, she got something in exchange.
The guy sells the seat but leaves $15,000 of merchandise behind, and the cops give it to her as like some sort of consolation prize?
I'm sure it was a situation where it was just too difficult to sort out. I gotta reach out to the police department and see what happened on that one.
Is that standard practice now? Because there's just so much stolen stuff they find.
They can't find the owners,
it's
right?
Like, hey, look what you want. You get half a car back, and
it really does beg the question, right? Exactly. Like, what exactly happened with that? I guess I should have probably dug into that one a little bit more. But let's
just for comedy purposes.
But she said that they're dealing with other issues in the neighborhood because of, you know, the homeless population.
They've been breaking into the apartment buildings and breaking into our washing machines. A lot of the management doesn't want to deal with it because it's a constant thing. They're breaking into the laundry rooms to take the change out of the machines, not really realizing that we use apps and cards nowadays. So they're just putting us through a lot more turmoil than what we should really be going through as residents.
Unlivable city.
I just want to go to one last bite from her. You know, she really shared a lot. And by the way, I did speak to other people who had said similar things.
Right.
They said they had some sketchy run-ins, things like that. But one of the things that she said is people are, you know, they're not really reporting a lot of this anymore because nothing's happening.
The same less fortunate people that you see being arrested or whatever, they're out within like 12, 13 hours. Once they detox or once they come down from their high, they get out, they get another high, and they do it all over again. And the police, they're like, you know what?
And she was saying the police are basically saying, you know, their hands are tied.
Yeah, right. And then Gascona tell you that the crime rate is down. These people commit multiple crimes all day and night, and none of them are recorded or reported. And then we're told, no, actually the streets are safer than ever. Lying sack.
Back to the Jack in the Box.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. This one, well, you know what happens, Ken, is we get these big headlines, and then we figure out other things are happening. Sorry, Ken.
No, I mean, it's 2 a.m. Was it just like the drive-thru was open? Because they're in there, right? They're working. I mean, what's going on at 2 a.m. at the Jack in the Box in Winnetka?
Yeah, I believe the drive-thru was open, the dining room was closed, and the door that he tried to go through was that back door that would get you into the kitchen.
Okay,
so they were just outside smoking.
Right, he just had to have his Jumbo Jack or something.
Or he just wanted to stab somebody. That's the mood he was in.
All right, Blake, thank you very much for that report.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Blake Trolley, KFI News, covering when vagrants attack. And as I mentioned, the El Segundo Times, they posted this at 10:48. Grace Tuohy, looks like they haven't caught the stabber yet, right? Did we cover that? They haven't. They're looking for the assailant, who is supposed to be a black male transient.
Did they catch him yet?
All right, I'm coming back, Ken. Sorry, that was I'll thank you again. Yeah, no, they have not caught him yet. The last they saw, he took off on DeSoto. He's been described as a black guy, about 35 years old. He was wearing dark clothing. He had like a big backpack on, like a camel or camping backpack. Mm-hmm. And he took off down DeSoto towards a park.
Okay, there we go. All right. So they do say that, but the El Segundo Times reporter, and this is the woman that's at the fast break desk. Grace
the fast break desk.
Yeah, it's like fast breaking news.
Well, she's probably busier during Laker season.
Just says the suspect's unidentified.
Oh, really? Is that true?
Right.
Yeah.
Tried to get into the location and argument ensued.
Yeah. So Grace Tuohy, I guess, is she instructed by management that it's not a vagrant?
I'll look for an update on the story and see if here we are 3 hours later, if they did update it to say they're looking for a transient. They got a transient.
Yes. They have euphemisms on top of euphemisms, don't they?
Yes, I guess that's a more polite way. Transient just sounds like somebody who's in between, jobs.
When you stab somebody six times, that's an attempted murderer. That's how he's described.
All right, when we return, this is hard to believe. Metro, LA County Metro, you know, the buses, the subways, things like that. They're building a homeless hub? Get out of here. We should not be in this business. And if we are, that's the Department of Homelessness Services or whatever.
The Department of Homeless Hubs.
Homeless Hubs. They call them navigation centers.
They're insane.
So a vagrant can go in there and navigate their way into a better life. We'll get on to it coming up next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
You see, there was horrible violence right down the street. Did you see this story? They're looking for a gunman who killed three people in Toluca Lake.
Oh, no.
Right near the station. Yeah, Lancashire, right?
Yeah.
War Park in Lancashire?
That's, I sometimes drive by there, yeah.
I know. I saw this I saw it on the news, and I said, wait a minute, I think I recognize a couple of those restaurants in the background.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Any details? What?
9:30 p.m. last night. Apparently, it was like a drive-by shooting. Three or four men inside a silver car opened fire on four other men. One of the victims died at the scene. Three others transported themselves to a hospital, but two of them died of their wounds there. The fourth is recovering. They cordoned off the street. Ernie's Mexican Restaurant, you ever seen that at the 4400 block of Lancashire? But anyway.
It's getting near North Hollywood, and there's a lot of...
I know. And they say they don't know whether or not it's gang related, but usually drive-bys is that kind of thing.
Drive-bys? Yeah, almost always.
Yeah. Now,
because who drives around like three other guys in the car, randomly shooting at other cars? Another car filled with a bunch of guys. I mean, this isn't the bowling league.
Yeah. All right. So we were just talking to Blake Trolley about a transient, a vagrant, who apparently stabbed a Jack in the Box employee in Winnetka. L.A. Metro has got this idea that they're going to build a homeless navigation hub. Oh, it'll be like a welcome center. This will be right next to, adjacent to Union Station in downtown L.A., where apparently Union Station and the entire metro system has the largest collection of vagrants of any other place.
Well,
now they're going to accommodate the vagrants by building a navigation hub to connect them to services.
Because normal people don't use the metro station. Why would you?
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, nobody's getting on a bus or a train if they can help it, because...
Well, but apparently that station, that you got Metrolink there, Amtrak, I think there are people that use it because it's like a connecting point to get to other transit modes.
There's no chance I would ever, ever take mass transit in Los Angeles. I'd steal a car since I'll... Car theft is legal. Just go steal one. No one's going to bother you.
Now, it's not going to house the homeless. It will not serve as a shelter. Well, There'll be no beds or dwellings.
It will.
However, it's supposed to connect people that get to the end of the line there at Union Station on a bus or a train to some sort of services.
Those people hit the end of the line a long time ago.
Administrative case management and housing navigation management. Oh, it sounds like they're going to hire more people.
Aren't you sick of the bureaucratic gibberish? It is. It is just to hire more useless government workers, useless bureaucrats who do nothing to ease the problem that normal people are suffering through. All right? You got one woman who's had to shoot a guy in Hollywood Hills. Next day, there's a guy getting stabbed at the Winnetka Jack in the Box. No help for these people, but we have all kinds of bureaucrats available to spend money on your miserable, wretched life while you sit there snorting and injecting drugs all day and night.
Feed us buzz lines like navigation. They're
going
to figure out their life. It's like their map to their future.
No, you're just going to enable them so they can take drugs until they die.
Meanwhile,
all these people end up dying really young.
The columnist for the El Segundo Times, basically, he's pretty old now, so he writes a lot about senior citizens.
That's
Steve Lopez.
No, that's his whole beat now.
Because now he's talking about a 70-year-old guy who's living out of his car. David Mays has been living in his Chevy Malibu for 2 years, and he can't help but dream about the day when he gets off the waiting list for housing. He's in one of these garages, Safe Parking LA. These stories are supposed to make you go, now all I do is go, get responsible for yourself.
What did you do the first
70's not that old.
What did you do the first 70 years? Let's see. This guy was of working age. Well, you could start getting a job when you're 16, right? That would have been 54 years ago. That would have been around 1970. So starting in 1970, this guy could work.
Apparently
the 70s,
did,
the 80s,
these,
the
these
90s.
People seem to have gotten laid off or something. And another one living in his car, well, used to be a chef, but I guess he lost his job. And then that's it. Dead end. See, it doesn't have to be a dead end.
I don't understand. There's 9 million jobs available in this country. And
is this guy? David Mays. Wait a minute. David Mays has been. Oh, I see. The evening I met him, he was parked near a 72-year-old unemployed chef. Okay, so the story is I'm finding the people in the safe parking place. A lot of them seem to be older people living in their cars, right?
Yeah. So what did they do all their lives? Did they put any money away? Did they invest any money?
Well,
did they make
this
rational decisions?
He meets Eduardo, 73, and his longtime partner, Rena, 69. They're living in their Chevy Cruze. Well, he works as a messenger. She's a seamstress.
Yeah. Messenger work pays a lot when you're 73.
The pandemic limited her hours, and then her factory closed, so that was it for her seamstress work.
Right, because
they couldn't handle the rent in their backyard unit in Linwood, so they moved into their Honda Accord. That conked out, so they bought this used Chevy Cruze.
Here's a better, more honest paragraph. Some of the clients have complicated histories. Complicated histories.
Yeah, that is... That is a disguised word.
I have a complicated history. It means I'm a complete F up. I constantly do the wrong thing. Legal problems. Would that be committing crimes? Addiction issues, physical and mental health challenges, family estrangement. In other words, your family threw you out because you were such a mess. Poverty and trauma. Others are simply the victims of the cruel math of survival in L.A. Wages don't keep pace with the cost of living and housing. Then move. Go to Barstow. Go to Needles.
Barstow?
Yes.
Needles.
Death Valley? Go to Death Valley. Seriously, who the hell stays in a place you can't afford? Why would you do that?
Go to Pahrump.
And they're living in...
Pahrump, Nevada.
Yes, what? Go to Pahrump. Take your rump to Pahrump. Why is this so difficult? To start up your car and say, let's move where we can get a much cheaper existence.
I don't understand that either, but you got it. A complicated life. And I thought of this the other day. I said, everybody has a relative like this, and the family tends to give up on them because they're always between jobs, need money.
Sure.
They're in some complicated transition.
They want to move in with you.
And that's who this crowd is that's living in their cars. They just have this, hapless situation where they just can't navigate.
Because you're a disruptive pain in the ass and nobody wants to hear from you anymore. Life is too short to deal with all your problems. 70 years old.
Oh, I don't have any money. What do I do?
What did you do? What was your life about? But Steve Lopez and the rest of these L.A. Times ninnies, they never ask these people. I suffered trauma. When did you suffer trauma? People used to get over trauma.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere.
What does that mean? You're supposed to heal eventually. You're supposed to move on.
Yeah, the simple phrase is figure it out.
Figure it out and move on. Jesus. I mean, the whole World War II generation in America, they had 11 years of 11 years of depression, 5 years of war. They came out the other side and built like the, it was the biggest boom time in America's history. That was after 17 years of trauma. All right.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at AvalonWaterways.com. Avalon is cruising elevated.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio 1 till 4 after 4 o'clock. John and Ken on demand. That is the podcast. It is the same as the radio show. And if you missed anything, you can hear it then after 4.
And we'd love to hear from you. Use the app, the iHeartRadio app, to connect to the Moist line using the microphone icon or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. The following happens from time to time, and all I can say is, all right. We go to North Kern State Prison, where apparently a serial killer killed a child rapist.
Wow.
Yeah, they were sharing a cell together. Temporarily, it says, until they were transferred to more permanent accommodations. And the serial killer's name might be familiar to some listeners because it was a big story just a few years ago. Ramon Alberto Escobar. This is the guy who apparently, well, was born in El Salvador. I don't know whether or not he was a legal or illegal immigrant, but he was in Texas and he killed his aunt and uncle. And eventually made his way to California, and he killed homeless people here. Do you remember this back in 2018?
Oh, yeah, I do remember. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, back in 2018, in the early morning hours, he attacked another homeless man who was sleeping on a beach in Santa Monica, repeatedly beat him with a baseball bat.
Wow, he actually went to prison for all that.
Oh, that guy survived the assault, but 2 days later, he attacked another homeless man.
Yeah.
Who also suffered a big head injury. That guy fell into a coma and eventually died. Then he attacked three sleeping homeless men in downtown Los Angeles, again with the baseball bat, robbing them afterwards. Two of them died, while a third victim survived. So this is why he's a serial killer. It started with his aunt and uncle, who apparently he lived with because basically he didn't have a job. And then he killed both of them. And then he left Texas and he came here and he started killing homeless people. So they eventually caught up with him. And I like this part. It says here that... due to several delays caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, the trial was delayed until early 2022, and then he was offered a plea bargain from, I guess, the LA County DA, Gascon. They dropped the death penalty if he pled guilty to all charges, and they gave him several life terms without parole. And we know what that could mean. I just mentioned all these murders. Doesn't Gascon believe that 15 years is enough for anybody to serve for
sure.
pretty much any crime?
And you could serve all, you could serve each sentence at the same time concurrently.
Yes.
So it's exactly. It's 15 years total for the whole package of murders.
So he's put in this cell in this prison, and he's got a cellmate by the name of Juan Villanueva. No relation to former Sheriff Alex Villanueva.
And I guess Juan didn't wash himself well.
Yeah, Juan was sentenced to life in prison last year for sexually assaulting a child under 14.
Oh, my God.
He arrived in February, just days before he was killed by his serial killer roommate, Ramon Escobar. And John's right. Ramon said he was a slob. He confessed to the killing, said it was all over in 5 minutes.
It was a hygiene problem.
Yep, a hygiene problem.
Bad hygiene. So he strangled Villanueva.
He also said that Villanueva didn't show him any respect. I guess Escobar told the story about being a serial killer, and the guy went, ah.
How bad do you have to smell to get somebody to strangle you?
Strangle you.
That's, but I guess if you've just moved in with a serial killer, it wouldn't take much, right?
Yeah. And another crime story that makes your head shake. It's like, there was apparently a guy who was involved in the Hells Angels in Sonoma County. A guy by the name of Merle Hefferman. And apparently,
Merle Hefferman doesn't sound like a Hell's Angel.
It does not. Merle sounds like a comedian name. Like Milton Berle or something like that.
Merle Hefferman.
Well, he apparently wanted to kill a rival biker gang member by the name of Joel Silva. So he made a deal with a Fresno funeral home to incinerate the body of Joel Silver after he killed him. Hefferman was a member of the Hells Angels of Sonoma County. Silva's was one of four bodies that Hefferman directed to be illegally cremated at the funeral home, which was known to the Hells Angels as, quote, the pizza oven. Nice.
This was a plot line in Sons of Anarchy, the TV show on FX.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, so in the fictional town that Sons of Anarchy is based in, the guy who ran the funeral home in that town was on the take from the club.
And he would cremate their victims?
Yeah, he would cremate their victims, and then they needed to stage a crime scene, and they got bodies from him and used bodies that were in his morgue.
So wow. Funeral homes have crematoriums? I thought that was a separate location.
I guess they can do both. Some of them do. I don't think they all do.
What?
Some probably offer crematorium services.
They got a smokestack on the roof?
Or unless the funeral home had a connection with the crematorium and just, you know, sent the body out.
A little puff of smoke. It's like, here goes another one.
Well, this just came out of the indictment against this guy that this was their way of a pizza oven, of getting rid of the opposition.
Send him to
so
the
there's
pizza
no body, oven. Right? No body, no Jeez. Crime sometimes. You can't really. Yeah.
Well, this is all good news, though.
You're assuming all Hell's Angels guys are nasty criminals. I guess.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. I would never say any such thing. Do you think that?
No. Well, you're saying it's all good news, so I wondered what that meant.
Who knows what it meant?
Your time to backpedal.
I actually was talking about the guy with bad hygiene.
Oh, the serial killer that killed the child rapist.
That's definitely good news, right?
Yeah. All right, we'll be back. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, apparently Gavin Newsom did sign the bill that is going to start the speed cameras in the state of California and several cities. It has been approved by the governor. We're going to talk about it with Jay Bieber from the National Motorists Association after the news at 3 o'clock. He was key in bringing us up to date on red light cameras years ago, and those have pretty much disappeared from, well, there's a lot less of them than there were as judges began to throw out the tickets.
Yeah, this is
What we can do with the speed cameras.
This is about stealing money. This is nonsense. The people who go speeding and running people over late at night when most of the mayhem happens do not care about the speeding cameras. They're not going to pay the tickets anyway, and they're not going to be forced to. So this is just another ruse from these irritating nags in the Assembly and State Senate.
Well, and you know, wouldn't the proof be we had the red light cameras for a couple of years and they're gone? I mean, now is everybody dying again at the intersections because we took away the red light camera? I mean, right? Because people are making dangerous rights on red.
I do not see the connection between speeding cameras and people being hit. I mean, even the example that they used in one of these stories here, the people who speed, that's only one little fragment of their problems on the road.
They
drive.
I mean, everybody speeds, but you're talking about going like 70 in a 35 zone or something.
Right. But so I'm saying a camera doesn't stop a guy like that. A guy like that is going to be reckless and crazy. They're usually drunk. They're usually on drugs. They have anger issues. They're very reckless and irresponsible. Yeah, the camera's not going to stop them. And they're the ones who caused the deaths. So instead, they're going to come after the rest of us who are driving slightly over the speed limit because the speed limits are too low for the roads in the neighborhoods.
I remember they also got that thing where they were going to lower the speed limits because they thought, it was not a proper study to set the speed limits.
It's the nanny state. Yes, they have bogus studies all the time. And it's
all about the war on the car. Right?
They'll come at you
from 10 different directions.
That's what it is, about getting us out of our cars.
Get you high gas prices, but do everything they can to get you out of your car and now hound you with tickets.
So uncomfortable and so costly that
take
we
away
surrender.
Parking. We've covered this from like 10 different angles, right?
No.
All right, so we'll talk to Jay after 3 o'clock. Speaking of cars, though, I had to read this story twice to believe it. Three members of a California family pled guilty to conspiracy for their role in a ring that shipped $600 million worth of stolen catalytic converters from California to New Jersey. You know, and we've talked about these kind of stories before. Apparently, New Jersey is known to have these big, I guess, processing places where they take the catalytic converters and then they get the important metals out of them.
Yeah, I saw a television story on that. Jersey
did.
Yes.
Jersey is like the capital of catalytic converter.
Catalytic converter processing.
I didn't know that. It was like you send in a mail order. Brothers Tu Su Vang, 32, Andrew Vang, 28, and get this, and their mother, Monica Mua, 58, were part of a nationwide network of thieves, dealers, and processors who provided these stolen anti-smog devices to, it's a metal refinery for more than $600 million. Now, this family alone didn't get $600 million. They were part of the ring.
No.
First, I thought they alone sent $600 million worth of catalytic converters. And
it's made with precious metals like platinum. So they have a process to melt down and extract these metals and then resell it.
Yes.
And
some of these precious metals are more valuable than per ounce than gold. And their value is going up, says the U.S. Attorney's Office. The black market price for catalytic converters can be above $1,000 each. So that's why you might see them on the street in the middle of the night with their power tool
and what
slicing
do you
off somebody's catalytic converter. Somebody gets castrated.
And what do you know?
Hey, the car's been castrated.
That's not my catalytic converter, sir. California accounts for 37% of all the catalytic converters.
Aren't we like a third of everything? The third of the homeless, a third of the welfare cases, the third of the catalytic converter.
Yeah.
And we're what, 12% of the population?
12% of the population, 37% of the catalytic converters, because we have no laws.
That's right.
Because criminals can run around and do what they want every day. Nothing happens to them if they get caught. There are no crimes.
I told you I saw this happen. It doesn't take long. It says here they're easily stolen. Those guys went to work with a power tool, a parked car outside my home, and by the time I heard it, they were almost done.
It's probably one of the brothers.
It might have been Tu Su, although I think these guys are from Northern California, but maybe. You probably would make more money at catalytic converter than you could like smashing into someone's car and taking your chances grabbing stuff that's in the... woman that Blake Trolley talked to, we talked to Blake earlier this hour, she had a lot of stuff in her car that sounded valuable, didn't she? Why would you do that, right?
Well, they returned her car with all these stolen goods.
I think she had stuff in her car that was stolen, too.
She had stuff in her car that was stolen, and then she got $10,000 to $15,000 worth of other stolen goods that the thieves left behind.
Oh, and by the way, the Vang people are from Sacramento.
Yeah. Well, they You know,
they pled guilty to conspiring to transport the catalytic converters in return for more than $38 million they got. Wow. That should help them with the bail, wouldn't
that's
it?
That's a very rich... Well, that's the thing. They've made a lot of money, and I'm sure they put it away somewhere. So what are they going
to... They're just going to serve their time and... Oh, they probably have to make restitution.
Well, this is a federal prosecution.
Yeah, it is, right.
So they'll probably spend some good prison time.
I hope so. But what did they do with that money is a good question.
Yeah.
Did they just buy stuff with it, and can that be taken from
them?
That's
what Switzerland is for.
All right, when we return, Jay Bieber will be with us. He's the executive director of policy for the National Motorists Association. How do we beat what we definitely have for sure now? It is speed cameras out there on your roadways. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Marcus off. We got Sandy Wells live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at avalonwaterways.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.